good afternoon to you, Namibia, and welcome to On the Reader News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I'm yours, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I shall be keeping you company up until 14:30. Now, it's Thursday, the 25th of September, 2025. And as the week heads towards its close, Namibians are busy shaping the stories of the day. Now, whether you're tuning in from the bustling streets of Windhoek, heading to a shift in Ketmanshoop, tending to crops near Okahandje, or studying in a library in Oshakati, thank you for making Eagle FM your station of choice this afternoon. Now, here on the Reading News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We explore why it matters, how it affects the lives of everyday Namibians, and what it means for the future of our country. From major policy decisions to the small details of daily life, we unpack the forces shaping our nation and bring in the voices that matter most. And remember, your voice is just as important as the news itself. So share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, or to tune in through the Eagle FM app or Eagle FM website. Now, from the scenery landscapes of Swakopmund to the land farms of Grootfontein, from the shelves of Walvis Bay to the quiet streets of Tsumeb, wherever you are this Thursday afternoon, we are glad to have you with us. This is On the Reader News Analysis, Namibia's stories unpacked and connected to the people who live them. Now, let's get right into today's top stories. U.S. President Donald Trump retained to address the 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly after a six-year absence, delivering a speech sharply critical of the UN and multilateralism. Now, in his address, Trump emphasized national sovereignty, broader security, and rejected what he described as globalist policies. He challenged mainstream global priorities, including climate change, migration, and the effectiveness of the UN. Now, joining me in studio to unpack the story is political analyst, that is Ben Mulongeni. Good afternoon, sir, and it's a pleasure to have you with us on the Reading News Analysis.
Good afternoon. Happy good afternoon to the listeners of Eagle FM. I'm happy to be with you this afternoon.
Absolutely, a pleasure. Now, of course, we're talking about Trump criticizing the UN, of course, and talking about climate change. Dr. Ben, would you like to delve into it for us?
Well, this is not surprising. It's typical of Trump, and also normal for America to criticize the UN, particularly when they are against the what they call the global, you know, coalition or whatever. They are against the globalization of efforts. Why? Because they've been enjoying the monopoly of hegemony, dominating the whole world, dominating the decisions of the UN. And actually, it's America. If nothing goes their way, they will not support the UN. Sometimes they even wanted to withdraw the funds to the UN because they are the biggest contributor. So they consider themselves a superpower, as he said, the greatest country, everything. And with Trump, it's even worse because Trump is just glorifying himself, you know, boasting having ended wars, having done that, blah, blah, and all those things. And they are jealous of the efforts, jealous of the power, the emerging democracy, emerging unity of among the nations of the world who are, you know, united in the United Nations body. And unity is power, and it's where decisions concerning all humankind are taken. And Americans are jealous of that they are losing out, because regional blocs and other international bodies that bring together nations in their effort to work together, ending wars and promoting peace, fair and free trade among the nations, is a threat to American dominations. So hence, it's not only, that's why efforts that have to do with climate change, mm-hmm, and warming are condemning them. Coming up with those scientific explanations that are not clear. How can a president just using his power, political power, to condemn and saying that it's fake news? He always says it's fake news, something that he doesn't like. I mean, globalization, global warming is real. Interfering or tampering with the nature is real. Of course, the other side is America will not support all efforts to, you know, reduce or mitigate the global warming, because they are the main contributors to global warming, because they are the biggest industrialized country. They are the biggest spender in terms of war machineries. They occupy almost the whole land with American bases, with planes and ships and vehicles and other. I mean, together with the industries that are contributing to the global warming. And also, because they want, they are too selfish, they want to say, if we say we must reduce or control, they believe that it interferes with the business production. It's one thing to enjoy production with new technology, but that are producing, you know, substances that are harmful to nature, to our climate, to the plants, to the oceans. I mean, it's real. Imagine if you pour a tank of oil, of petrol, into the sea.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Many people have seen it. It killed fish. The marine, you know, things, they would die. It's the same thing. Pour petrol and diesel in your garden. You won't reap any fruits from any garden. It will die.
True.
Yeah. So that's real. Nature is there for us, given by God to us, to cultivate it, but to take care of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So
Yes, please go on.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, we also do actually play a part in terms of climate change. You know, at first I was thinking to myself that to some extent he might have a bit of a point. So you rightly explained to it that, of course we have our part to play in terms of climate change. Do you think perhaps it's, overly emphasized, or we should not really take it serious?
Come again, please. Pardon?
I'm speaking in terms of Trump criticizing green energy policies, and of course talking about climate change. At one point, I actually thought that maybe it's overstretched too much when you talk about climate change. And now you rightly explained there that we have our part to play, you know, in terms of climate change and climate nature. Just not so long ago, conversations were around the El Niño effect and what the world itself, what ourselves are doing, you know, things like fossil fuels, things about, you know, and you rightly explained also about putting a tank of oil into the sea. So do you think we also have, at some extent, have our part to play in terms of climate change, or we only have some sort of little percentage to contribute?
We have a great part to play. I mean, you cannot just harvest and not taking care of the nature.
Mm.
You can't just harvest from the tree and not taking care of the tree. You cannot harvest milk or whatever from the sheep if you don't even, you know, take care of it. You know, nature is clean as it was, but you must utilize it responsibly, and not destroying it. You cannot continue mining sands and leave this hole open. They will be destructive and they will be killing animals and human beings. You can't. So the other thing they are not supporting, because they lose a lot in terms of their traditional, you know, source of energy. You know, when we venture into new method, the new source of energy, it will somehow make them lose money if we interrupt or we interfere with their normal traditional way of doing business. So you can have it both.
And that's
the thing. And talking about war, he was there bluffing, saying he stopped wars. Well, that's not true. And he was even saying during his campaign that he will stop the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. It's still on. People are dying. It's just pure demagogue and trying to score points. And if they can stop the war in the world, they perhaps stop the war they've started, whatever they've instigated. They are the main instigators of war in all countries.
Mm.
They are the ones who have been assassinated all the leaders that do not agree with them, that were there for the interests of their own nations.
Mm-hmm.
And the only country that was not, whose president was not overthrown, maybe it's where there was no American embassy. That's a joke that was running around journalists sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on migration, he warned that unchecked migration is eroding national identity, calling for countries to close borders and remove foreigners in some instances. Just how true is this, Tata Ben Mulongeni? What about the culture of Ubuntu?
Well, listen, very hypocritical. It's not an American president who must say that. They are all immigrants. They all immigrated from Europe to America. America, the indigenous original people are Red Indians. Maybe young people do not know that. And they wiped them out. They killed them. The biggest murderers are Americans. They killed all the Indians. The remaining minorities have no say in their own land. Say.
Just pause for me right
save
there.
Save big at YouSave. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions just $189.99. 4 packets Knorr thickening soup, all variants, $24. 700 milliliters crystal gold tomato sauce, $24.99. 750 grams Nola mayonnaise, a baggin at just $27.99. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, $14.99. And 3 kilo bag selected pasta polana, $74.99. You save as good as the best for less.
Okay, and we are back. So sorry about that.
I was saying it's very funny who's talking. It's laughable. It's a joke. Trump himself, his grandmother, his parents came to America like parents of many Americans.
Yeah.
And even his wife, he must deport his wife first. I speak the language he speaks because I studied in the area where he was born.
Yes.
In the Balkans, in the former Yugoslavia, Slovenia. You understand? So, how it's hypocritical. Maybe it's racism at play. It's more targeting non-white people, mainly the Latinos from Latin America, the Asian, and Africans. So, they made America their own, like they wanted to make Africa their own. Mm. They had their way. If they were not defeated here in South Africa, Zimbabwe, Namibia, they could have made this country their own. This is the same effort, making their effort to create a small republic of Afrikaners in South Africa, to make it like a small Israel. And how come it's only America who's against the recognition of the state of Palestine? Why? People are right to say that America is run by the Jewish. Mm-hmm. The current Jewish, not the original Jewish, the breed between the Caucasians and the original Jewish.
Yeah.
So they have created that war between the Israelites and the Arab world. There is war there. Which war did it stop? If the war continued in Gaza, supported by Americans, the war they waged against Iran, supported by Americans. So we should not be lied, young people. No.
Okay. Now moving on to President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, she also delivered her speech at the UN United Nations General Assembly. Of course, first being grateful of the fact that Namibia's independence started off as a success story for the UN. And what do you say about that?
Excellent. I think excellent performance from our president.
Mm-hmm.
She really presented the president very well.
Mm-hmm.
We explained the historical background, where we come from, the role of the UN in our independent decolonization process for self-determination. She also laid out the plans ahead to develop Namibia. Particularly, she made it known to the world that we cannot develop unless we start, you know, stop exporting mineral resources and where she's calling the world, whoever is there, want to invest in Namibia, to be ready to share with Namibians to create jobs. We are too few to be poor, as she's made it clear. She's consistent in that one, and I think her voice was very loud and clear.
Yeah,
I really appreciate her.
She did speak about how Namibia is focusing on sectors including agriculture, education, creative industries, health, housing and youth development, while also leveraging its natural wealth in mining, energy and tourism. And of course, citing one of the key initiatives, including the National Youth Fund that is set to support entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. And for the first time, she, in her program, provision for creative industry.
Mm.
That's our concern for many years.
Yeah.
It's been my personal concern, you know, and last week we just buried Rashi Hammer, who's one of our top performers.
Yeah.
And creative industry, it's very important for the youth,
mm-hmm.
whether it's music, art, a different form of art and all those things. Usually leaders do not pay attention to that. They think it's a minor thing, but it's very, very good for the president. Even at the United Nations to raise that issue, that it's one of the priorities, because it can employ and creative industry. Remember,
mm-hmm.
it also includes sports. Yeah. Sports is also part of art, music, you know. Remember, even journalism is part of art.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's
so,
true.
I'm quite happy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of creative industries, a lot of people who are into arts and media and all that are quite happy with this one. Now, of course, they would just want to see tangible results.
The good thing uh-huh. industry, there's an opportunity for self-employment. When you say creative, because people will become creative by themselves. They only need to be supported.
Yeah.
They don't need to be government.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be supported in terms of, creating environment for them. Linking them to international stages, all those things, you know, participate in the sports, music, other form of arts, and film industry, those are the things
mm-hmm.
that create jobs for young people.
Yeah. Now, on international peace and security, President Nandi Ndaitwah reaffirmed Namibia's support for SADC's role in stabilizing Eastern DRC and called for stronger peace initiatives by the UN. But of course, he also criticized the continued deadlock over Western Sahara, demanding the immediate holding of the long-promised referendum for self-determination. Just what do you think about this, that she had also the boldness to criticize where they are not actually producing tangible results in terms of peace and security?
It's a country that emerged from colonialism. And maybe, you know, of the United Nations, Namibia was midwife by the UN, including other countries in the Afro-Asia bloc, Africa. So we have never wavered in our foreign policy towards oppressed people of Palestine and as well as Western Sahara. Since independence, all our leaders and our foreign policy was very clear. It's not conditional. It's not dependent on our relationship with America or whoever says what. And that's bravo and brave for us. It's the land of the brave. We stand and you know, unwavering to support. We cannot afford to you know, hold our hands and keep a blind eye to the suffering of our fellow Africans or fellow human beings who are in the same fight that we went through, including as we are talking, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think about countries recognizing Palestinian as a state and those that are not? And of course, the UN is not, of course, the United States is not forthcoming about this. What do you think about that, Ben Mulangeni?
Well, you don't have to think about it. It's a natural thing. It's true. Of course, it's pleasantly surprising. I mean, pleasantly surprised, happily surprised to hear the United Kingdom. And other major power like France, it's a breakthrough. If superpowers of Europe, if not the whole world, like France and Britain, recognize the state of Palestine. In any case, they are the one who created the state of Israel, particularly the British ones. And Australia and many other countries, well, that would be a slap in the face of the Americans,
mm-hmm.
you know. That creates a good welcome division among NATO nations that are supporting Israel and, you know, in other wars in the Middle East. So that's a welcome division among them. So we see how it goes, but who cares later? So the UN passed a lot of resolutions, hundreds of resolutions with regard to the issue of Palestine, And the issue is, which Namibia supports, is a two-state, solution, that we are not against the existence of Israel, per se, but we are saying let the two states coexist peacefully. Peaceful coexistence.
Mm.
I mean, what's good to whatever you call it, the agenda also good to the whatever. Now, listen, the Israel, the Jews, are the ones who suffered most during the Second World War, what they call the Holocaust. But now there's a Holocaust that are inflicting on genocide inflicting on other people. What a shame.
Yeah. Quite interesting. Thank you so much, Ben Mulongani, for your inputs right there. You're such an eye-opener in so many of this political stuff. Of course, calls for one to make their own thorough education, but at least they have something to go by.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
And there you had it from political analyst Ben Mulongani. For now, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katutura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katutura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
In her historic first address as Namibia's head of state at the United Nations General Assembly, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, the country's first female president, called for urgent global action on peace, climate change, youth empowerment, and equitable reform of international institutions, describing Namibia's independence as one of the United Nations' most successful achievements. President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah traced her own journey with the UN back to 1974. Now leading the nation as its fifth president, she emphasized her commitment to justice, inclusive development, and gender equality. And I quote, "Your voice matters," she told women and girls, encouraging their leadership across sectors. Let's take a listen.
Namibia's journey to independence is one of the UN's most success story. It was through this very organization that our forebears tirelessly petitioned for the end of apartheid, colonial rule in Namibia, for freedom and independence of our country. At this point, I want to thank the UN family for having held a special session in remembrance of our founding president, Comrade Sam Sifuna Nujoma, when he passed on. Madam President, my personal journey with the United Nations begins in 1974, where I have had the privilege to serve my country and Africa in various capacities within the halls of this distinguished global organ. Today, I am deeply honored and humbled to stand before you as the fifth president of the Republic of Namibia, with a mandate to deliver services and to ensure justice of all inhabitants of our country. As a woman, I encourage every girl and woman by affirming that your voice matters. Your vision is needed as it will pave you a way to the helm of whatever institution you are serving. Madam President, Namibia's 8th administration is built on the strong foundation and legacy of our predecessors under the theme Unity in Diversity, natural resources beneficiation, and youth empowerment for sustainable development. That theme aims to shape and transform the Namibian economy through value addition and other economic activities. Hence, we have identified agriculture, sports, youth empowerment, education and training, creative industry, health services, land and housing as critical sectors supported by mining, energy, water, tourism, infrastructure development, transport, logistics, to sustain our economic development through our long-term development blueprint, Vision 2030. This vision is being implemented through a series of national development plans, NDPs. Recently, we launched the sixth NDP with its fundamental pillars clearly aligned to the global agenda, such as the SADC Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan, the African Union Agenda 2063, and the UN Agenda 2030 for Sustainable Development. Some of our achievements include the launch and the operationalization of the National Youth Fund, which is to assist young entrepreneurs in their economic activities. In the area of education, we will abolish registration and tuition fees in all public institutions of higher learning and vocational training centers to ensure skill development. On energy, Namibia is diversifying her energy mix using all our natural resources. In addition, Namibia presented her energy compact at the African Energy Forum, thus enabling us to access concessional funding for national energy initiatives. Madam President, climate change is scorching our lands and drying up our rivers. Global instability is impacting our economies, our markets, and jeopardizing our livelihood. These are interconnected symptoms of deeper fragility in our shared system. They require our collective action rooted in apathy and shared responsibility. In this regard, I am glad to announce Namibia's bid to host the Africa Regional Hub of the Green Climate Fund. Furthermore, severe droughts, floods, and other climatics brought about by climate change cannot be overemphasized. Namibia calls for the implementation of the provision of the Namib Declaration on a strong United Nations Convention to combat desertification for a land degradation and neutral world. Namibia acknowledges the technological advance in all fields, but ethical boundaries must be respected. However, artificial intelligence must not be a substitute for human judgment or responsibility. We therefore call for a global standard that ensures that the usage of artificial intelligence remains transparent, fair for humanity. Youth unemployment, increased economic inequality, lack of adequate housing, quality education and health care, water, energy, and debt distress are among the common challenges that no one country can address alone. Through multilateral cooperation, our collective action must ensure that we all forge ahead to make the world a better place and to work together on those challenges in line with our theme, Better Together. Madam President, 30 years since the adoption of the Beijing Declaration and Platform of Action, we have made much to celebrate and to ponder on. Namibia continues to make progress in the area of women participation in politics and decision making. Currently, Namibia's cabinet has 57% of women. As we gear up to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the adoption of the UN Security Council Resolution 1325 on women, peace and security, adopted during Namibia's presidency of the UN Security Council, Namibia will host two high-level events in Windhoek and New York. I look forward to the participation of all member states in those events to collectively reaffirm commitment to women, peace and security agenda. And through the Namibia International Women Peace Center, we will continue to advocate for the universal implementation of the women, peace and security agenda. Madam President, we know to the ongoing efforts of the UN to ensure that we remain fit for purpose, including the UN AID initiative. We need an agile United Nations that is inclusive, respect of the UN Charter, and its purpose and principles must be our guiding star for our future endeavors. Madam President, we are meeting against a backdrop of profound global tension. The world is fractured by conflict, displacement, and economic instability, instabilities straining multilateral cooperation and a serious issue for us to reach consensus. A global liquidity crisis threatened to plug millions of people into poverty and insecurity. For Namibia, those crises are real. They impact our communities, tested the resilience of our ecosystem, thus need urgent attention. In this context, the Southern Africa Development Community is committed to promoting peace, security and stability in the Eastern DRC. Namibia welcomes the ongoing efforts by the AU, SADC and AC to align the Rwanda and Nairobi peace process and encourage the continued strengthening of political and security aspects of the challenges faced in our region. We further call upon UN Security Council and good office of the UN Secretary General to strengthen negotiation and peacekeeping initiatives towards resolutions of all conflict, including those in different parts of Africa. The impasse in the UN security over the question of Western Sahara is an injustice. More than 34 years after the adoption of the resolution 690 of 1991, the time for the holding of the UN referendum on the right to self-determination for the people of Western Sahara is now. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the Ezuwine Consensus and the Third Declaration, which jointly constitute the common African position on the reform of the UN Security Council. We acknowledge the support from all interested groups for the common African position, which culminated in the recognition of Africa as a priority and a special case in the reform process, as reflected in the outcome document of relevant United Nations process, including the pact for the future. We can no longer delay the urgent call to redress the historical injustice to Africa and address our call for equitable and balanced representation on the Security Council. Madam President, the Charter of the United Nations has laid the foundation for conditions necessary for peaceful coexistence and harmony among nations. Therefore, unilateral cohesive measures should not be used as a tool to undermine sovereign state, for this violates the charter and the principle of the United Nations. In this regard, we call for an end to the continued illegal economic, financial, and commercial embargo imposed on the friendly people of Cuba, and removing her from the list state sponsoring terrorism. We call for an end to the illegal sanction on Zimbabwe. We are also gravely concerned about the emerging threats against Venezuela and call for the removal of sanctions and the threats against that country. Madam President, the UN Commission of Inquiry on the occupied Palestine territory, including Israel, Eastern Jerusalem, has just released its findings that indeed a genocide is being committed against the Palestine people. Despite the clear provision of the Security Council and General Assembly resolutions and advisory opinion rendered by the International Community of Justice, the humanitarian situation in Gaza is worsening, and access to humanitarian aid is severely limited. A failure to address the crisis in Gaza could become the moral failure that defined this era. We call on the UN Security Council to find consensus and help put an end to the lasting conflict between Israel and Palestine. Madam President, I call for a meaningful reform of the United Nations has never been more urgent. This reform necessitated democratizing global governance, amplifying marginalized voices, and ensuring international law is not a tool for convenience, but a shield for most vulnerable. As I conclude, I wish to reaffirm Namibia's commitment to the international obligation and the multilateral order. Respect for international law is not just a legal duty, it's a moral imperative. We must reaffirm our commitment to the principle that unites us, mutual respect and peaceful resolution of dispute, and solidarity in the face of common challenge. Let us remember that even the smallest nation.
And there we had it, our beloved president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah's speech at the UN General Assembly. Now, to help us understand and break it down, I'm joined in studio by David Chombe. David, good afternoon. Pleasure to have you.
Good afternoon, Juju. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Now, David, just what takeaway do you take away from President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah's speech?
Yeah, looking at what the president has said, I think it was quite a very powerful speech. Mm-hmm. One will be able also to see that is her area of specialization.
Yeah, yeah.
Because being a diplomat, I think she knew exactly what she was going to say, and she went there prepared. Mm-hmm. But looking at the speech of the president, it's also very important to look at that is for the first time she's addressing the UN General Assembly as a president of Namibia, although she has been there for quite a long time, because first she has to indicate that since 1974, and most of us were not born, but she was already engaging the United Nations. But when she went there as a president of the country, first you need to establish the standard. And I think the standard is very high. Mm-hmm. And being a diplomat, you also need to look at what is that United Nations have done, because countries, even from Africa, when they went there, when you listen to the speech of Ramaphosa, Ruto and others, mm-hmm. you can be able to see that they have a very good agenda. But what she did first is that she acknowledged the role of United Nations in Namibia. Because
Namibia's independence.
Yeah, because we are the brainchild of United Nations, and we are one of the good case study. Because there are also failures of United Nations, but to Namibia, that is one thing that I think she acknowledged. And also looking at what are some of the key things that she mentioned? Number one is where are we standing as Namibia? She spoke about United Nations position on equality. Then she said that in Namibia we are doing the best. I think we are number one in the world in terms of acknowledging the principle of gender equality. Even the United
No.
In terms of practically applying it, because when you look at where we are now. In Namibia. Namibia is the only country at any point in time where you have the president who is a woman, you have the vice president who is a woman, you have
the Speaker of the National Assembly,
Secretary General
to the ruling party.
No, and three critical ministries like finance, the only is finance, international relations, and
health and education.
You only have defense as men. Then she stated that we are at 57% in terms of achieving gender equality, and Cabinet consists of 57%, which are women.
Yeah.
And maybe the other thing, you know, the world has a lot of things going on now. Then I think she just emphasized to say Namibia, we are still supporting those who are oppressed.
Mm.
Because Namibia did not shy away from supporting other countries when they are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, since early 2000, Namibia is speaking about guys, remove sanction against Zimbabwe.
Mm.
The reason we have Zimbabwean here is not what they want. Although they are educated, sanction will not allow them to go forward.
Yeah.
And spoke about Palestine and all those things. But the main important thing that I think is also worth noting is the restructuring of United Nations to allow Africa to have a seat in the United Nations Security Council. That is like it's like the boardroom. It's like the boardroom of United Nations. It's like the boardroom of United Nations, and that is where you make critical decisions. And I think with looking at what the president has said and where the world is now, I think it's quite a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even listen to the tone of her voice. That is
an
area.
Very
because
confident.
It's like you speaking about things that you are passionate about, life lessons and health, things that you are passionate about. And you can tell that compared to other presidents, I think that is one of the best speech I can say. But it's one thing to look at the speech. It's the other thing also to look at what is that? What is the outcome? Because at the end of the day, we must have something on the ground.
Yeah.
And I think that is exactly what I can say about the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of people are very impressed with her speech.
Hey? Yeah, yeah.
Even people from outside Namibia, quite impressed with her speech.
No, look, Juju, Namibia, in international relation, we can be a very small country, né? But things that we did, not even bigger countries have done them. Because if you look, I think it's only us in Africa where at one point we had we chaired the UN General Assembly.
Mm.
Theo Ben-Gurion was the president of UN General Assembly.
Yeah, yeah.
And few things that we have done very well in Namibia, especially when it comes to the world. But looking at our small country and the problems that we have, there are also a lot. Maybe I think it's high time that they also look at us and also what they can solve at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. David Chambe, thank you so much.
Thank you, Juju, India. Bye.
Okay. And with that, let's pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, we'll be talking about sports news. Stay tuned.
Lipura nenge lo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka okone ushe ndife nawa nokumona oijabwili nawa ninge Fanona, Monica Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now for a discussion on sports-related news. The Namibia Sports Commission, NSC, has undertaken significant regional visits to the four northern regions, being Ohangwena, Omsati, Oshana, and Oshikoto, to bolster sports development and recognize local talent. Now, those first visits are part of a broader strategy to decentralize sports initiatives and ensure equitable access to sports opportunities across the country. And this is under the leadership of Freddy Muya. Good afternoon, sir, and it's a pleasure to have you with us on the Reading News Analysis.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon, viewers.
Mm. Tell us more about your visit to the four northern regions to speak about sports development.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Yes, we actually came on Sunday here to visit the four northern region, but the main purpose of our visit is to introduce the concept of the Namibian Annual Sports Award that will take place on the 22nd of November in Oshana or Gwendiva Town Council, in particular the Trade Fair Center. So we decided to come down here to actually see all the political leaders of the four northern region. At the same time, also talk about some programs that will also aid and add in terms of sport development in the region. So we actually had the first engagement with the Gwendiva Council being our host. And we also engaged the office of the governor, where we also brought that out, picked up the information. Where we really talked about multi-purpose new center that they are trying to construct. We had engagement on that with our council, where we talked much about sport development in the region and how since we know when you come to the north, it's called the north, when it's of the north, so we just have a half before.
I'm losing you a lot. Freddy? I think the network is not so good anymore. Let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Nonetheless, despite those efforts, see you after the commercial break.
Lipurane njelo wapogwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe indise nawa nukumona oijabweli nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity.
And now we still have Freddy with us in studio, or actually connected to us. You're talking about the annual sports awards that are going to be held in Oshakati. Can they go into detail again?
Yeah, obviously, at the Gwendiva Trade Fair Center Hall on the 22nd, 2025.
Yeah.
No, it will be the second time that this award will be held in this area of Three Oceana, because 2019 we had it on Dangwa.
Mm.
It's for that reason that we make it better, that we need to involve all the towns of the Far North and the region of Parcel and also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Freddy Muya? Hello? Network is still quite bad, so I think it's okay. Okay. Let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with more.
Lipurane njelo wapungwa Eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite okoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi kayo loka opone ushe ndife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge Pada Fanola, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heavy, Nola Natu, Heavy Bali No Heavy, Ileko, Derewa, Brahetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Hatatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and it's at this point that we tell you what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. Now, of course, we start off with the US dollar compared to the Namibian dollar, and 1 US dollar today is equals to 17 Namibian dollars and 31 cents. 1 euro is equals to 20 Namibian dollars and 33 cents. 1 pound sterling is equals to 23 Namibian dollars and 24 cents. 1 Swiss franc is equals to 21 Namibian dollars and 75 cents. 1 Botswana pula, on the other hand, is equals to 1 Namibian dollar and 30 cents. And we move over to trading economics. The economy of Namibia expanded by 1.6% year-on-year in the second quarter of 2025, decelerating from an upwardly revised 2.8% advance in the previous period. Now, this marked the slowest pace of growth since the 3.5% contraction observed in the first quarter of 2021, hindered by poor performance in manufacturing at minus 9.7% versus minus 1.3% in the first quarter. Fishing activities at minus 4.4% versus minus 7.3%, and agriculture and forestry at minus 3.5% versus minus 20.1%. Now, at the same time, output slowed markedly in some activities, primarily administrative and support services at 0.9% versus 5.7%, health at 3% versus 11.4%, transport and storage at 1.1% versus 4.6%, and real estate and professional services at 1.6% versus 2.1%. US equity futures hovered around the flat line on Thursday, following a 0.3% decline across the three major averages in the previous session. Investors remain cautious ahead of fresh catalysts, focusing on whether the Fed will deliver another rate cut next month. Now, a slew of data releases included jobless claims and durable good orders, along with remarks from several Fed officials are on the deck today. Now, in corporate news, Intel rose nearly 4% in pre-market trading after Bloomberg reported the chip maker had approached Apple for a potential investment. Apple shares also edged up to 0.4% before the open. Total credit extended to the Greek economy increased by 7.4% year-on-year in August 2025. That is edging from a 7.2% gain in the previous month. Now, this marked the highest growth rate since December 2022, as credit to the private sector rose slightly to 10.6% from 10.5% in July. Now, the monthly net flow of financing to the private sector turned positive, amounting to 166 million euros compared to a negative flow of 1.26 billion euros in the previous month. Moreover, credit to the general government accelerated to 2.4% in August from 2.0% in July. However, the monthly net flow of financing to the general government was negative at 189 million euros in August. South Africa's PPI inflation rose for the third month in August 2025, reaching a one-year high of 2.1% compared to July's 1.5%. Now, main upward pressure came from food, beverages and tobacco, notably meat, fish, fruit, vegetable, oils and fats at 11% versus 10.4%. Prices also rose faster for furniture and other manufacturing at 8.3% versus 8.1%. Now, non-metallic mineral products at 6.3% and 5.7%, transport equipment and metals, machinery equipment and computing equipment at 1.1% versus 0.1%. That's what we had for you today in terms of trading economics. Let's pause here now, take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, we'll be telling you what's making headline in terms of news beyond the borders of Namibia. Stay tuned.
Lipurane njelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihoe tike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitida oipindi konu konda doi inawa mune uto otukwetida o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushe ndife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge Father Fanola, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora is a female, Bari Hair B, Nola Natu, Hairy Bari No Hair, Ileko, Erewa, Mura Hetatu Natu, Bari O Hetatu Watatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. Now brace yourself for news beyond the borders. We start off regionally, move over to continental news. Thereafter, you can expect some international news. Now, starting off in South Africa, where South Africa welcomes the G20 science commitments.
So we're at the SKA site here in Carnarvon. Of course, this is a construction site. Four of the additional dishes that will start the construction of the SKA mid already up on its pedestals. But at the same time, today we had a G20 ministerial meeting, of course. Our Minister Bladen Zamande not being able to do the keynote speak, but in his stead, of course, the DG of the Department of Science and Technology, Mlungisi Cele, with us now. Firstly, DG, according to the commitments from the group of 20 science ministers, we had that in Pretoria a couple of days ago. Are we happy as South Africa by those commitments that were made?
No, thank you very much. Let me greet you and your viewers. Of course, as South Africa, we're pleased about the progress that we have made. It's a huge progress. You know, there are 10 key concrete deliverables that, if implemented successfully, will have a lasting effect. You know, just to give you one example, we are going to be developing a pan-African genome strategy. Because right now, there is a challenge around genetics, the data. Particularly, it's not easy to detect, darker skin women. And yet, drug treatments that get offered, sometimes they're not based, or not because of the lack of the relevant information about black people generally, so there may be some misdiagnosis, right? So we want to make sure that African genome is also recognized, right? So it's a huge effort. It's one of those things that we're going to be doing. The other one, we have agreed, given the challenges of climate change, that we are going to create a platform focusing on disasters where different countries under G20 and those that we have invited could participate, could share and learn how they deal with disasters. So I'm just highlighting those concrete deliverables that we agreed upon. So it's been very successful. And we're also very happy about the number of the high-level participation by ministers and their representatives, who, by the way, some of them then participated in the SKA Observatory Ministerial Council meeting, which happened for the first time here in South Africa yesterday afternoon. And they were really excited about the prospect of visiting this site, because most of them were going to see this place for the first time since they've signed as members of the SKA. And we are also having countries like France that are almost in the advanced stage of getting official approval from their parliaments to become members. And then there are others that have signaled intentions to join. We're very happy and we hope that more countries could participate in this project. This is a huge global cooperation scientific project that can offer huge solutions to this world. It's not just about the science project, but data, which is a huge drive, and it holds the future for the whole world.
DG, so you've mentioned some of it, but South Africa specifically, where is science and the Department of Science and Innovation pushing our young brilliant minds to in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years? We know AI is big, but the next big thing is coming.
Well, firstly, let's appreciate progress that South Africa is making in terms of developing young talent. And this morning, I'm sure you would have seen some young stars from nearby schools. A few of them were telling me that they've just returned from international competitions. They're in grade 9, 10, and 11. They've participated in different world competitions on science, and they were showing me their projects, robotics and so forth. They're doing excellent. And in fact, this project here in the Northern Cape has assisted a number of schools which you know, without any doubt that if this project wasn't here, a lot of those youngsters would not have had the opportunity to learn and acquire science and engineering skills. Secondly, some of them have now gone on to do PhDs, like, you know, Isaac, who shared his story this morning, who has been funded by this project since undergraduate, and next month is submitting his PhD, as he has told me. So nationally, of course, as a country, we would like to see more young people opting to do maths and science. We understand the challenges at the schooling level. Basic education is doing something. We are supporting.
Moving on to Zambia. Zambia's tax revenues have hit 16% of gross domestic product.
As the 2026 national budget is due for presentation on Friday, September 26, stakeholders are eager to see how Finance Minister Stumbeko Msokotwane will shape the country's economic direction. With external financial assistance declining, the United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, is calling for a budget that strengthens domestic financing and ensures efficient use of public resources. UNDP resident representative James Wakiaga acknowledged that Zambia has made progress in domestic resource mobilization through improved tax collections.
While Zambia on its part has made significant improvements in terms of mobilizing domestic resources, with tax revenue now standing at 16 to 17% as a ratio of the GDP, a positive shift indeed. However, fiscal space still remains constrained by debt servicing, volatile revenues, and lower than expected external flows.
According to the findings of the UNDP KPMG pre-budget survey presented by KPMG Associate Director Benson Mubanga, exchange rate volatility, inflation, and interest rates remain the top challenges for businesses.
87% of the respondents want tax incentives targeted at job creation for the youths and women. Then 21%, they want tax revenues for social spending in health and education to be ring-fenced.
Meanwhile, Ministry of Finance Director in charge of economic management, Imwiko Akapelwa, said the economy is on the right path, supported by predictable policies that help the private sector to plan.
Economy is moving in the right direction. We see all the macro indicators to be stabilizing. We are seeing what we're expecting for a good economy to thrive.
And Zambia Chamber of Commerce and Industry Acting Chief Executive Officer Emmanuel Mumba said the country is on a growth trajectory, stressing that partnership with the private sector are key to economic transformation.
Zambia is on a growth trajectory, and there is a critical realization from government to say public resources are not enough to drive the economic transformation.
The UNDP KPMG pre-budget survey is designed to promote proactive engagement with government ahead of the 2026 national budget presentation. Mary Kachepa, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
The Chinese delegation is in Zambia to accelerate implementation of bilateral agreements. Let's take a listen.
For decades, Zambia and China have enjoyed strong and long-lasting ties anchored on cooperation in infrastructure, trade, and education. The partnership has now entered a new phase with renewed focus on implementing agreements signed by President Hakainde Hichilema and President Xi Jinping. UPND Secretary General Batuke Menda says Zambia is already benefiting from this collaboration.
Zambia's friendship with China is historic and enduring. Projects such as Tazara Railways, which is in the process of being revitalized, and the Mulungwish textile, which will soon be opened. These two projects remain landmarks of our solidarity and cooperation.
and CPC Head of Legal Affairs for Hubei Province, Wang Linghyun, said his mission in the country is to ensure the agreements translate into tangible projects that improve lives in both countries.
And I agree on your recommendations or suggestions and points made on the following areas, including the international fight between the two countries, on the cooperation between China and Zambia, in renewable energy, in vocational education, and the building of smart cities.
Later in the afternoon, the Chinese delegation met Zambia's first deputy speaker of the National Assembly, Malungo Chisangano.
Your Excellency, allow me to also place on record our sincere appreciation to the people of China for their continued support to the National Assembly of Zambia. For example, we are highly indebted to the People's Republic of China for constructing the Media and Visitor Center as a gift to Parliament of Zambia.
The two ruling parties say their cooperation will continue to deliver social and economic benefits, cementing a friendship that has stood the test of time. Cindy Mwamba, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
WTO Chief Defense Agency as US tariffs rattle global trade.
Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala has called for urgent reforms to restore stability and predictability in global trade as pressure mounts from member states divided over trade equity.
Undakarahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka, ne data, no shoyo o utumaraka vahupi. O netuwe kaimwe, o kufutarumwe, o kuyinyengarumwe, o kujapandali. Fio papa ndauka, o ndapumga o netuwe kaoyo haidiradira ya fange. O mafikuwa amwe, o handi streaming, o mafikuwa amwe, o handi popi, o mafikuwa amwe, o handi nigaishe poshikanto shimwe. Pamwina parateza, uinda holora, ameha ishipangere, osho pa umwini. Dira dira, umakota fanoni data, momkaro wili, mwana parika, okutuma kutumaraka, okustreaminga, na okudenga pamwina parates. Konga, parates, Namibia.
Always, always prepare, parates.
Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala has called for urgent reforms to restore stability and predictability in global trade as pressure mounts from member states divided over trade equity, dispute resolution, and institutional transparency.
I think the role of the WTO is to provide stability and predictability in world trade. And business people trade. And many of the business people from all our members, they understand very well the value of the WTO. Business people who trade want predictability and stability. They want to know that when their goods go from one country to another, that they are going to arrive and they will know how the goods will be valued, what tariffs to expect, and therefore how marketable their goods will be in the country that is importing those goods and whether they'll make a profit. Yeah. Out of it. So that the predictability of global rules is what the WTO stands for, and the stability.
In an interview, Okonjo-Iweala defended her agency's role in global trade. U.S. tariffs have upended markets, leading to criticism of the WTO.
And so I think that this is what is important. People take the system for granted. They expect to walk into a store and just find the goods they want to buy sitting there. But the rules that underpin that trade that brings the goods is not well known. Now, we also need to admit that you talked about reforms, that the WTO needs to listen to criticisms. And the WTO is made up of its members. And many of them are criticizing one thing or the other about the way it functions. This is a golden opportunity for members to say, okay, global trade is in a crisis. Let's seize the opportunity to do the reforms and tackle the challenges of the system and make it even better.
Okonjo-Iweala's remarks come at a time of heightened global anxiety over U.S. trade policies, which have reignited fears of a broader trade war.
Moving on to Malawi, Mutharika wins with 57% as Chakwera concedes with 33% in Malawi election.
Former Malawi leader Peter Mutharika was declared the winner of the presidential election on Thursday. He won the election by a significant margin, securing 57% of the votes, while the current president Lazarus Chakwera received 33% and conceded defeat earlier that day. This announcement marks a major political comeback for the 85-year-old Mutharika, who previously served as president from 2014 to 2020 before losing to Chakwera by a wide margin. Mutharika now inherits an economy in deep crisis, facing a severe shortage of fuel and foreign currency in this impoverished southern African nation. Before conceding, Chakwera's party raised concerns about serious anomalies during the vote counting process. However, the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Justice Annabelle Mtalimanja, expressed gratitude to everyone for ensuring that the elections occurred smoothly and without any significant logistical issue. The swearing-in ceremony is expected to take place 7 days after the announcement of the results, according to the Electoral Commission. Malawians also voted for the makeup of parliament and more than 500 local government representatives.
Firing plans begin as U.S. shutdown threat escalates.
Shutdown stakes escalate as U.S. agencies draft mass firing plans. It's Thursday, the 25th of September, and this is what you need to know. Looming government shutdowns may be routine in Washington, but there's a new sharp escalation. The White House Budget Office is directing federal agencies to prepare mass firings, not just temporary furloughs. At the heart of the crisis, a bitter funding impasse as the October deadline looms. President Trump cancelled today's planned meeting with Democratic leaders, demanding that they drop their push to renew healthcare subsidies before talks resume. Our stock of the day is Intel. Bloomberg News reported that the struggling chipmaker has approached Apple for a possible investment. The two tech giants are also exploring further collaboration, but talks are still at an early stage and could not lead to a deal. A partnership would be a big win for Intel's turnaround push. Apple was a former customer, but is unlikely to return to using Intel processors in its devices. Keep an eye on Costco. The retail giant will be reporting its earnings after the bell today, and expectations are high. Costco has managed to hold the line on prices and pull in even more shoppers, even amid inflation and tariff pressures. Last quarter, it leaned on its scale and loyal customer base to beat profit expectations. But this time, traders are watching closely and asking how much longer Costco can keep delivering. Bubble fears may be back, but Bank of America said that today's sky-high stock valuations may be justified. While some on Wall Street warn of a repeat of the dot-com crash, the bank's analysts are pushing back. They argue that stronger efficiency and more stable profit margins than in past decades are helping to support today's lofty prices. In short, stocks are expensive, but maybe not irrationally so. And our chart of the day is copper. Prices jumped almost 4% on Wednesday after the US miner Freeport-McMoRan warned that it won't be meeting supply contracts. A deadly mudslide at its massive copper and gold mine in Indonesia forced the company to declare force majeure. The mine accounts for nearly 30% of Freeport's copper and 70% of its gold outputs. And any prolonged disruption could drive prices even higher. And that's what you need to know this morning.
China sets new emission goals amid Trump climate change stance.
China led several countries in announcing new climate plans on Wednesday at a summit on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. Chinese President Xi Jinping said in a live video message from Beijing that by 2035, his country would cut its greenhouse gas emissions by 7 to 10% from its peak. While less than many observers had hoped, China's reduction target marked the first time the world's biggest emitter pledged a cut in emissions, rather than just limiting their growth. Xi also appeared to call out the United States, the world's biggest historical greenhouse gas emitter and second biggest current emitter behind China. Xi said that while some countries had moved away from the global clean energy transition and the goals of the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change, the international community should remain on track. The 10-year-old agreement aims to prevent global temperatures from rising beyond 1.5 degrees Celsius through national climate plans.
It's the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world, in my opinion.
Xi's comments came a day after U.S. President Donald Trump used his U.N. General Assembly speech to reject climate change. Trump went on to call scientists stupid and to criticize EU members and China for embracing clean energy technologies. Shortly after returning to office earlier this year, he ordered a second withdrawal by Washington from the Paris Treaty. And on Wednesday, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who hosted the climate summit, called on all countries that are party to the Paris Agreement to set new, more ambitious plans for the next decade.
Now we need new plans for 2035 that go much further and much faster.
Despite pressure for significant new climate commitments ahead of this year's COP30 summit in Brazil, Wednesday's announcements failed to impress environmentalists. Green groups and observers said pledges by some of the world's biggest economies fell well short of where they should be in emissions reductions. Many had been hoping that China would seize on the U.S. retreat as a moment to announce a reduction target of at least 30% to stay in line with its past goal of net zero emissions by 2060.
Italy condemns drone attack on Gaza aid.
Italy's defense minister says a Navy frigate has been sent to assist a flotilla carrying aid to Gaza. The flotilla is reported to have come under drone attack off the coast of Crete. The people on board posted this on social media. The global Sunmud flotilla said more than a dozen explosions were heard around the flotilla as it sailed off Greece late on Tuesday, with damage caused by unidentified objects dropped on deck. Some of those on board recorded messages. Here's one of them.
We just heard another attack right now. We know of five vessels that have been attacked by a bomb. You can clearly hear it. And again, another bomb was released. We do not know which vessel it is at this very moment. Raise the alarm. We are in international waters carrying only humanitarian aid. We have no weapons. We pose no threat to anyone.
The Greek Coast Guard says a European Union Borders Agency patrol boat had approached one vessel and saw no evidence of damage. But let's speak now to Dr. James Smith, a British A&E doctor who was part of the flotilla crew, had to return back to the UK, but is, I understand, still in contact with colleagues aboard the ship. James, good to see you. What have they told you? What's been happening?
So, Lucy, last night, a series of what appear to be coordinated attacks, I believe now 15 attacks on the flotilla. The flotilla now comprises about 40 vessels, most of which are small sailboats, two slightly larger motorboats, all of which, as you just heard from that clip, are carrying humanitarian aid, water, food, medicine. I myself was with the flotilla for about 2.5 weeks. I was on several of these boats, and I can attest to exactly that. These boats are crewed by regular folks from the world over, lawyers, doctors, nurses, teachers, and so on. What we know about what happened last night, so we were still trying to get to the bottom of exactly what was used against the boats, but a series of quadcopters were flying very close to the boats and dropped onto several vessels what looked like flashbangs, very loud noise, very bright lights, often used to disorientate and to intimidate. And then, of course, the communications line was jammed. The VHF radio, which is used for emergency communications, started playing music by the Swedish band ABBA. We believe that this might well be due to the peculiar fixation of the Israeli state on the participation of Swedish national Greta Thunberg.
Given that the amount of aid on board the flotilla is so small, when the scale of need is so large, James, what was your motivation for being on board, for being part of the flotilla?
Look, I mean, I don't think that anyone on the flotilla feels that the amount of aid will make a significant dent on the material conditions. This is a population of more than 2.1 million Palestinians who are being subjected to genocide. The focus of the flotilla is not only to bring aid, but to draw attention to Israel's atrocities in Gaza, Israel's flagrant breaches of international law, and the failure of what's left of the international community to uphold its collective legal, political, and moral obligations. We know that direct action flourishes where political and legal systems fail to uphold the most basic values, the most foundational commitment to human rights. And the flotilla is doing what states have refused to do. Israel is perpetrating genocide against the Palestinian people, and it is incumbent upon all states, per the terms of the Genocide Convention, to act to break Israel's illegal siege. And really, that's the primary focus of the flotilla, to continue to draw attention to what Israel is doing to the Palestinian people
James,
in Gaza.
And James, in terms of your job as an A&E doctor, we have been hearing from two Australian doctors, surgeons who are working in Al-Shifa. They are barely functioning there. They describe just horrific conditions that they're having to operate in. And of course, so much of the rest of the infrastructure within Gaza has collapsed as well. I know that you've worked inside Gaza. I mean, what are you hearing from other colleagues who are in there at the moment?
Much the same as what you've just described. I mean, the situation in Gaza deteriorates day on day. Israeli forces have invaded Gaza City, where there was still some functioning healthcare facilities, some bed capacity. The Israeli tanks are now very close to Al-Shifa Hospital. People, of course, being forced to flee towards the south. In the last couple of days, PMRS clinics have been repeatedly targeted, the Palestine Medical Relief Society, ongoing attacks on Palestinian healthcare and humanitarian workers, and of course on the entire population.
Yeah, no. You know when you know what you want, but you're not sure either. What do you mean? I know I want to study next year, but I'm so conflicted when I think about the field I want to get into. Sometimes I lean more into business, you know, the money. But other times I really want to get into IT because it's like a passion thing.
Yo, there's a lot you need to think about. But at least NASC gives you the option to choose two programs that you'd like to study. And you can just make your final decision come registration.
Eh? Really? Do tell.
The NASC applications are officially open for 2026. So don't walk, my brother. You must run to NASC and apply today.
Check out the 2026 prospectus at www.nas.na. Namibia University of Science and Technology, reinventing the future.
And with that, we have now officially come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. To stay tuned for the Voters Education, Voters Preparation Program brought to you by Bishop Lucas Katenda.